720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here at China Lights in the Bernard Botanical Gardens up here in Milwaukee. We have done an on the road trip to the far east side of Hales Corners. I don't have my globe, but I am excited to be here. This is one of those kind of preeminent places, and just 90 minutes away from Chicago, the kind of place that everybody should get up here. Take a road trip to Milwaukee, and one of the great reasons is China Lights. And we're going to have a great show for you on tap. We are going to cover, I think, all ends, all corners. It's not a square state, right? There's a lot of kind of jagged edges of Wisconsin. We're going to do all that stuff. We're going to have Lisa Marshall on from the Wisconsin State Tourism Board. She's going to be on with us. John Gerda, Milwaukee historian, will be with us. Kristen Settle, you know her and appreciate her work from Visit Milwaukee. Tony Lamb is to my right. He is my right-hand man, and my left-hand man is Craig. He is with TNU. He has helped with building and maintaining the amazing exhibits here at China Light. So guys, first say hello to everyone. Welcome to WGN, Tony and Craig.
Hello, everybody, WGN.
Hello, everybody. This is Craig from TNU.
We're going to talk with both of those guys, not only about the Chinese community here in Milwaukee and the educational side of China Lights. People are not only enjoying it, all the stuff, but also learning a lot of things as well. And but now let's go out to Lisa Marshall. She is the state director for Wisconsin State Tourism for the state. Lisa, welcome to WGN.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh, you've already got her on. Hey, Lisa, welcome to the show. And now I know a lot of things are happening in Wisconsin, certainly China Lights here, and in Milwaukee specifically with the Mighty Brewers. There's so many things happening.
That's huge news here.
I know. But your kind of area of influence, and you're obligated to share all the wonderment of Wisconsin as a whole. So let's talk about it. I know
Great.
That people think of Wisconsin as a place, you get out there, you get on the boats, you get in the woods, you fish, you do all those things. But coming up to fall, I'm sure there's a lot to do.
Yeah, there is. And you know what? Fall, we're kind of almost at the end of it. So, what I would be telling people right now is to start thinking about, holiday, winter, because this is the time to start planning something like a great spa getaway when it gets cold out, or, even like get your family, start planning, a trip up to the Dell, maybe over Christmas break. So now is really the time to start planning those trips.
Well, you think of skiing, and I know that at least in the Chicagoland area, and sometimes we get some snow, but sometimes we don't get as much snow. There's a couple ski hills, here and there. But I think for kind of winter sports, there's a lot of that happening in Wisconsin.
Right.
Where are some that you would suggest?
So, close to the Chicago area, we have Wilmot Mountain, kind of in the southeast corner of Wisconsin. They've done $1 million renovations over there, huge tubing hill, great skiing, chairlift. And I would say our top ski destination, or one of the top, would be, and I say it's tops, I think it has the highest vertical drop in the state, and that would be Granite Peak at Rib Mountain State Park. And that's up in Wausau. And actually, if you were up here this weekend, they've got a fall color ride where they're using those chairlifts to get people up to the top of the mountain, and you can see all the fall color on the way up. But also, they're first and foremost known for some really awesome skiing.
Yeah, and you'll get the fall colors that are up here now. We've got so many different colors up here with China Lights. When it comes to, now, have you gotten a chance to get out here to China Lights? I know that you're the one sharing things in Wisconsin. We want to share this with you. Have you seen it?
I have not. I've seen pictures, and my goal is to get there one of these upcoming weekends with my kids. So, it's fantastic. But, while you're up here, and you can take in everything in the Milwaukee area. There's some great things in Lake Geneva that you can do. We see a lot of Illinois license plates in Lake Geneva.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people get up there and visit. When you think about that, I know Chicagoans, I think, are very familiar with, and of course, we'll talk some more Milwaukee a little bit later on in the program. They're familiar with Lake Geneva.
Yeah.
But if you could describe a couple places that are maybe a little bit further north. We took one of our on-the-road trips all the way to Hayward, Wisconsin over the summertime, and it was absolutely amazing. I mean, it is definitely worth the trip to get up a little bit further up north in Wisconsin.
Right. Hayward and Cable are like that whole area is one of my favorite destinations. And, that area is known for the America Birkebeiner. And that's we have the largest north cross country ski race marathon in North America. And that is well known. It draws, 10,000 competitors, and it's a fantastic race, and that takes place in Hayward and Cable. You know, and Hayward's got this, you know, great shopping downtown, but, you know, another great thing you can do is just, you know, find a resort or a cabin, because it just seems like a great fall-winter destination, you know, idea, just to cozy up by the fire and, you know, and then head into town for some, you know, head to the Angry Minnow for dinner or some of the other great restaurants in downtown Hayward.
Yeah, yeah. Get some supplies, get out there and kind of enjoy.
Hey.
Get at one with nature, something you don't get to always do. So before we let you go, let us know the website where people can, you know, kind of go online, kind of pick their great Wisconsin getaway and destination, come out and see you not only in the fall, but the winter all through the year.
In the winter, too. Well, you know, we also have free travel guides. So you want to head to travelwisconsin.com. We've got a free events guide, a free travel guide. You can order those, and, you know, they're free. So it gives you some great ideas, gives you a list of all the events for the winter, and then just some great travel ideas on that website. So, yeah, travelwisconsin.com.
Lisa Marshall, thanks so much for taking time out and joining us, being part of our road trip to China Lights. Thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. You take care.
All right, we've got Tony, we've got Craig. We'll be back right after the news. And we're also going to have John Gerda, Milwaukee historian. He's going to be filling us in on all the history that we can come up here and see a little bit north of the border.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Hey, everybody, Danny the Count Coker here from Counting Cars and Count 77. You are on the road with Dave. Come on, people, turn it up.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race?
720 WGN on the road live here at China Lights at the Berner Botanical Gardens up in the Milwaukee area up in Wisconsin. And of course, it has been extended by popular demand until the 28th. ChinaLights.org. You can get all the information and all the tickets and get up here and experience this, which is, you know, an amazing thing that is going on. It is the third year of it. This is one of the best settings to see it in all of the country. This is a tour that goes all around the country. To my right, we do have Tony Lamb. He is with the Organization of Chinese Americans here in Milwaukee. Tony, great to have you. And then also we have Craig from TNU. He is part of the team that has built this this exhibition. And so, Craig, talk a little bit about how big it is. You know, how many different, I guess they would be exhibits, right? Different animals, panda mania, a lot of pandas here.
Yes. So why we use this kind of the panda for this year's topic is so every year we got to choose a kind of mascot for this year. So the topic of this year, we used more than 3,000 ping pong balls to make up this big lights of this year. So why we use panda is the panda is a kind of symbol for the Chinese family reunion, and it is a native bear in Sichuan province in our cities. So it's a kind of dangerous people. So we want people to remind people to make some protection of this kind of species. And then this year we put 41 China lights here than the last 2 years before. So it's a big investment than the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah, I mean, it's bigger and better. It grows all the time. The attendance is as good as it gets, and for good reason, because it is, it's an exciting thing that happens here. Not only is it something to see, bring the whole entire family, a lot of interactive exhibits. It is beautiful at nighttime as well. And Tony, as one of the individuals with the Organization of Chinese Americans here in Milwaukee, this has only been around for a few years here, and it is a lot of great things to see, but also there's a lot of education that happens. I know there's exhibits, there's people here kind of sharing the culture, the history, the traditions?
Yeah, we did a workshop last week, 3 days in a row. We teach kids how to make a paper lantern out of a lucky money envelope, and I did a workshop on tea ceremony and served people tea.
Oh, yeah, so through the tea ceremony, I know our kids got to make, they made lanterns and pandas, and they made some panda things as well. So there's a lot of fun, and I know there are a lot of exhibitions and some of the education that goes along with it about the great history of this. I mean, this is the third year here, but this has been going on for thousands of years in the Sichuan area of China, right?
Well, the lantern, the history of lantern started maybe 2,000 years ago during the Han Dynasty.
Wow.
So been going on. I still remember how excited it was when I was a kid.
2,000 years ago?
Yep. Wow. Yep. First century. Yep.
That's a long time. Well, you've been around a while here, and excited as ever for when it comes to history and things that have been on a long time. One of the great historians here in the Milwaukee area is John Gerda. He is on the line with us as well. And let's see if we can lock John in. There we go. John, welcome to WGN.
Thank you, Dan. Good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. People think about Wisconsin in so many different ways. You know, we talked with Lisa about the kind of fun tourism side of things, getting out here and enjoying some of the wildlife, at one with nature, whether it's the summer and the lakes and the fishing or the skiing and all those kind of things. But on the history side, when it comes to Milwaukee, it's not something that I don't think people from Chicago are as maybe aware of. Talk a little bit about some of that history that you focus on when it comes to Milwaukee.
Well, I think one of the things you have to look at first is the role that Germans have played in Milwaukee. Still, the metro area has the highest ratio of Germans in the entire country. People ask what I tend to think about what makes Milwaukee unique, and I always point out that socialism and beer are two of the things. We were governed by socialists for about 50 years in the 20th century, and the major breweries are down to Miller Coors, but Milwaukee now has 40 small breweries and brew pubs, so, which is more than there have ever been. So it's beer is still making Milwaukee famous one pint at a time.
Wow.
The craft explosion is just amazing. So there's a lot going on. And the thing about Milwaukee, I think of it as either Chicago is Milwaukee times five or Milwaukee is Chicago divided by five. A lot of the same things, but Milwaukee has it's a very manageable kind of a human scale metropolis and close. You know, we're within easy reach of both Lake and Cook counties. So people use the airport. People come up for weekends. You know, Chicago is a great town to live 90 miles away from. You know, I've always said, and Milwaukee is as well. Milwaukee is as well for Chicago, people in Chicagoland.
You know, you think about this, and I get to travel around a lot, and certainly for our on-the-road road trips, we go to different, you know, communities and cities all over the place. And one of the things, you sort of take it for granted that everything's sort of been around a long time. But when it comes to Chicago, architecture is one of those things that gets brought up. And for Milwaukee, too, that's one of the things that I think you really experience and you get to see that isn't in every city that you travel to is Milwaukee does have some of those great buildings, that great architecture. What would be a few that you know, notice and share and are excited about?
Well, I look at a couple of ones, both old and new. The Calatrava addition to the Milwaukee Art Museum at the lakefront is spectacular. It was Santiago Calatrava's first major American commission. It's a bird. The wings open and close. So it's a great art museum and certainly a great piece of architecture as well. And part of what is Milwaukee's own museum campus, different scale from Chicago's, but you got the Betty Brin Kids Museum there, Discovery World, Science Technology. Among other things, it has a scale model of the Great Lakes, complete with thunderstorms. So, and a walkthrough aquarium that is just wonderful to go through in the winter months, especially. So a lot going on down there. Historic buildings, I think my favorite building in Milwaukee is probably St. Josephat's Basilica, which when you come into town from the south has this big green dome, is just next to the freeway. And that was built by Polish immigrants, dedicated back in 1901, and built with the stone from the old Chicago Post Office and Custom House, which was at one time in the heart of the Loop. The pastor of the parish was trying to do things on as cheaply as he possibly could, so he went down to Chicago looking for bricks. He found they were tearing down the Post Office and Custom House. He bought the whole thing for a reported $20,000 and shipped it up to Milwaukee, and they reassembled it doesn't look like a post office. It looks like a St. Peter's in Rome, but it's just a wonderful building. It's about the closest thing, I think, in the Midwest to a genuine European cathedral. I've been in there with people, you know, taking people on tours, so they say, why go to Europe? You know, it's right here. So that's open every day of the week, certainly for Mass on Sunday, but during the week it's open from 9 to 4. So that's, and it's free, you know, I think a $3 donation suggested, but it's a wonderful building. And downtown itself, the east side of downtown, you know, this preservation movement's been very active in Milwaukee. And there's a whole block around Michigan and Broadway where you have the old grain exchange, the Mitchell Building, and the old Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance headquarters from back in the 1880s. And it's just because some people would like to kind of encase that in amber. You know, it's just a wonderful kind of a commercial ensemble of buildings. So there's a lot to see.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, certainly the architecture. You drive up and down there, you see some of those great buildings, and the churches are front and center as well. And we got a chance as one of our road trips to check out, you know, the art museum. It's breathtaking. You know, it is something that you can put up to anything, in the world. And before we let you go, we're going to get some information on how people can follow all your adventures on social media. But I know that, Tony Lamb is here and he wanted to ask you a question. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey there, John. It's me.
Hi, Tony.
How are you doing?
I know why.
That's Eddie wanted to ask how you're doing. Hope you're doing okay.
I know why St. Joseph is your favorite, because you have a hand in the restoration of the whole building, isn't it?
The
St. Joseph. Yeah, the Basilica. Yeah. You have a big role in it.
Yeah, I was on that board for 21 years, but that was a labor of love. You know, it's a great story. You never get tired of telling it.
You still have to give me a personal tour of that building, though.
Oh, sometimes I'm happy to.
Well, you know what? So, John, I know we've got a bunch of people that are ready to go to share some of the amazing things that are happening up here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin in general. But for those people that want to follow you, you know, social media wise, keep up with you and that you can interact with, if you want to give out that information, that'd be great.
The easiest thing, Dane, is I'm part of a television show on Milwaukee PBS called Around the Corner with John McGivern, and we are in our eighth season, and every week, rather, on Thursday, you know, we do a half-hour show on some aspect, some community. Sometimes it's a Milwaukee neighborhood, sometimes it's a small town, sometimes it's a mid-sized city like Green Bay or Appleton, and that streams every 24/7, so you can go on a Milwaukee PBS website, go to Around the Corner, and you can get just it's been a really very, very useful kind of a travel adventure planning tool for people from throughout the Midwest, especially Chicagoland. So that's one thing. I'm not on Facebook. I'm one of those people who would prefer to have a little quieter life. But I do have a website, johngardner.com, and there are things on there that talk about some of the events I'm part of. But Around the Corner, there's also an app on that on the website that tell people every address, every place, and every community we've been in, and that's more than 100 now. So it's really a good key to understanding and exploring Wisconsin.
We're going to have a link to that up at WGNradio.com, and we'll get back to things. And so get back to enjoying what it is that you do and sharing all of that history of Milwaukee with so many different people. Thanks. Appreciate it. John Gerda. And so, all right, thanks, John. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Kristen Settle on. She said not to say anything about the planning for the Milwaukee Brewers World Series parade that I know that they're probably, you know, working for Visit Milwaukee. So stay tuned for that. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Cliff Boyer driving the number 14 Ford, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio.
And 720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here at China Lights at the Burner Botanical Gardens. And we are up here, and we got a chance maybe, I don't know, it was maybe like 2 weeks ago, to do a little bit of the kind of see the sights, the sounds, the flavors of Milwaukee. And for Visit Milwaukee, Kristen Settle does a great job kind of sharing all of those things. And the things we got to do, we talked with John Gerda about it, and he was right. You know, Discovery World is one of those places that you should bring the kids. There's so much interactive stuff, a lot of robotics, which the kids love. If you've ever seen like Robot Wars or any of those kind of things, that is something that I think was really great. And he mentioned that you got the Great Lakes and the weather actually happens there. That was cool. And when it came to the art museum, you know, art, I think, is something that, and it encompasses everything, whether for it's the classics, modern art. You can see paintings, you know, from the 1500s and everything. There are so many different things to see there, but the setting is second to none. The art museum there is as good as it gets. And so we got a chance to do some of those things. We also got a chance to get down to the, I think it was the Milwaukee Public Market. And while we're waiting to get Kristen on the line, Kristen Settle from Visit Milwaukee, Joe Mrzynski is here. And I know he spends most of his time in and around the Milwaukee Park System, and he's here, you know, climbing trees, probably wrangling some wildlife. But Joe is also, Joe, what is the name of that place? It's kind of like it's like a market, right? There's a lot of different food and crafts and artisan things going on, and it's right down there in downtown.
It's Milwaukee Public Market. It's a great place to visit when you're in town.
I see your colleague, right? Gave you the cue card to say that. Of course, it's a destination that happens in a bunch of different places. And so, but let's talk a little bit about it. I know Shirley, who was going to be on with us, she had some personal family thing, and our prayers go out to her. And hopefully, everything is perfectly fine with her and her husband. But this is part of, whether it's the botanical gardens and China Lights, is kind of under your purview as part of the park system. Talk a little bit about it. I mean, it's another successful season's going on for another week.
Absolutely, yeah. We're out here at the Botanical Gardens at Whitnall Park. 158 parks in our great park system. You can check them out at countyparks.com. We spoke about a month ago and talked about some cool things to do if you're looking at making a trip up north to Milwaukee. Our parks are a great thing to visit.
Yeah, there. You know, you're selling them kind of short because you mentioned the parks, and so it's got people are thinking of when they hear it. They're thinking to themselves, "Okay, parks, trees, maybe some lakes, maybe some other things." But here in Milwaukee, you guys have attention to detail. John mentioned it a little bit. You know, known for socialism and beer, right? And the beer garden situation here is something that you guys have paid a lot of attention to.
Absolutely. We are one of the leaders in the entire country on beer gardens. We get calls and visits.
You get calls from around the country saying, like, hey, we're from Topeka, Kansas or Boise, Idaho, and we want to do some beer gardens. We know you guys are doing it right.
Absolutely. That's what we do. We get calls from Cleveland, Ohio. We had visitors from Indianapolis Park System here about a month ago. We are the trendsetter when it comes to beer gardens in the entire country.
And are you open with that information? Because sometimes, especially when you have something that's special, it's good to keep it sort of close to the vest, right? Or did you recognize them? You're like, you know, you understand that they were maybe spies from Indianapolis.
Well, Indianapolis spies are okay. To get spies that far away, they're not taking our customer base. One thing that we did learn real quick is we are very open and transparent on how successful we were and how we did it with even the local municipalities around us here. We've kind of become more tight to the vest on that because they're our biggest competition.
Right.
But if you're from Indianapolis, Cleveland, Seattle, Washington,
Boston, people probably aren't thinking road trip. Maybe Milwaukee. How about Seattle? Right.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. They're not really competing day to day with us. But it's been a huge success for us in the park system. Generates millions of dollars to go back into making the other parts of our park system great.
It is great. We're going to talk with Joe a little bit more about the different parks and what's going on, especially things that go on as we get towards that fall and wintertime as well. And on the line with us now is a person who's kind of carrying the torch for Milwaukee in a bunch of different ways. It's Kristen Settle. Kristen from Visit Milwaukee. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I know typically, you know, you're sharing all of the wonderment that is Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we've talked before about some of those things, got a chance to experience a lot of it, absolutely loved so much of it. But as you get into some of the festivals that are happening, you know, the things that you kind of got to set your calendar on, get up here and experience, there's some things that are coming up right around the corner.
Yeah, you know, we are in the middle of one of our biggest festivals right now, the Milwaukee Film Festival. It just kicked off on Thursday and runs through November 1st. And the Milwaukee Film Festival is actually the ninth largest film festival in the country. And we've got some really great movies this year and shorts and documentaries and feature length and locally made. So we're really excited. It draws about 80,000 people to Milwaukee to experience it. And the film economy in Milwaukee is huge, so we're excited to be able to showcase it. So, you know, Daisy, I think that most people think of Milwaukee as a summer festival city, but we have festivals all year round. That's why they call us the City of Festivals.
So what's coming up for Halloween? I know you mentioned, we talked a little bit off the air about it too, is you've got some fun things coming up. Is it Dias Los Muertos is coming up, or what other things are going on for Halloween?
Yeah, Milwaukee really does embrace Halloween. We love that holiday. And the Mitchell Park Dome, those indoor botanical gardens that we have here, is hosting a Dia de los Muertos event on Friday the 26th. From 6 to 9 p.m., and so you can bring a family and come and have a good time and do all of the traditional things that you do in relation to Dia de los Muertos, including the sugar cookies and building the altars and the skulls. So they really get into it, and they decorate the whole place. And then Old World Wisconsin, just outside of Milwaukee, is running something called Halloween Legends and Lore. So Old World Wisconsin is a farm that replicates what it was like in Wisconsin back in the 1800s based on different nationalities. And so how did the Germans and Polish and the Irish and the Italians celebrate Halloween? And so it's a really interesting way to kind of experience the traditions and how they've evolved and how we embrace them now.
So you've got the festivals coming up. You've got socialism, beer, and films, right? One of the top film festivals in the country happening as we speak right here in Milwaukee. And Kristen, before we let you go, and I know you're not planning because you said you didn't want to jinx it. We're not planning the World Series party for the Brewers. But give the information, the website. People can check it out and come up and visit you.
Yeah, the website is visitmilwaukee.org. And there's all sorts of information on there. You can actually plan your whole trip right there, everything from booking your hotel to making your dinner reservations and buying your event tickets. So it's a really great website. Check it out.
Kristen Settle, Visit Milwaukee. Thanks, Kristen. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Go Brewers.
Yeah, go Brewers. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Joe Mrzynski about the park system, things to enjoy. Also, she mentioned the domes. We're going to talk about those as well, so keep it here.
Hi, this is Joe Mantegna, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN. Come on,
baby, don't you wanna go? 720 WGN on the road with Dane live here at China Lights at the Berner Botanical Gardens. We are here, one of our on the road trips just a little bit north of the border. Definitely recommend, just 90 minutes north, a world of excitement. You have a lot of great beers, right? There's a lot of great beers up here. Festivals, Summerfest, of course, in the summer, the world's largest outdoor music festival, and some of the amazing sights and sounds of China with China Lights. And this is one of those great things that is happening right here in the Milwaukee Park System at the Berner Botanical Gardens. Got Joe Mrzynski. He is one of those guys that is doing all the things related to all the different parks. And before we let you get out of here, Joe, you think about the park system, you think about all those things, you know, the trees, you know, maybe think of some animals and some lakes and some things like that. But also, you know, you guys have a real commitment to golf, which I think everybody loves, and this is a great opportunity to experience some great golf up here.
It is, Dane. We often hear from our neighbors of Northern Illinois what a great bargain and what wonderful golf courses we have here in Milwaukee. We really encourage your listeners to come on up, and whether it be for an outing for the day with some friends or to plan a golf outing for the entire company you work with. It's 15 golf courses. We have some on the south end of Milwaukee County that are very short drive from your northern listeners.
So what makes the courses that you guys have special? Is it the settings? Is it, are they designed in a certain different way? You mentioned they're price considerate. That's something I think everybody loves. But what are some of the things that make them special? And of those 15, if people are going to try one or two, what would be those first ones?
Okay. The great thing about our courses is they're not your typical municipal golf courses. We have...
There's actually grass on them.
They're absolutely gorgeous. They're absolutely fantastic. We often hear from our customers that it's better than the private clubs they've played. And that's a big difference than what you think about municipal golf courses being. And with that, we still get the great price point, but it's a great golf experience. It's in a park setting. You're not hitting balls next to a freeway or a train track or things like that. They're absolutely fantastic. And two of them I want to highlight today is one of them we've hosted the PGA Tour for 19 years. It's Brown Deer Park.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's high praise right there, right?
High praise. Tiger Woods made his debut there many, many years ago. Hit a hole in one. It's the famous, I've arrived moment for Tiger Woods.
Nice.
So. We currently host the LPGA Symmetra Tour up there at Brown Deer. And then also the other course I want to talk about is Oakwood Park Golf Course. It's on mke.golf. You can check it out. It is our furthest south golf course that we have. And I would say it's our second most popular golf course right behind Brown Deer.
mke.golf is the place that you would get information about the different courses. What a great history, right? I mean, how many just regular, you know, county courses are hosting events like that, big events? That's something I think is pretty special. And so the website for the park system, if you want to give that before we spring you?
Absolutely. countyparks.com is all the information for all of our county parks. Then it's the mke.golf just for the golf.
All right, Joe Mrzynski, thanks for being on. Thanks for sharing all the stuff that you're doing, and thanks for making the trip out here to China Lights. And with that, you think about the park system, some of the more traditional things people associate with it, you know, the trees and the birds and the animals. And Howard April, he is a park naturalist for the Ware Nature Center. You're kind of, the normal, right? This is, I guess, what would be the standard way that people would reference or kind of associate parks is with the kind of things that you're doing over there at Ware.
That's true. You know, Milwaukee County Parks has over 15,000 acres and over 150 individual park units. But of those 15,000 acres, over 10,000 of that is actually maintained as natural green space, natural areas. And Ware Nature Center is a big part of that. Ware Nature Center itself is about 220 acres, which for an urban area, that's a lot of real estate.
It is.
We're very lucky to have it. And, one of the great things about Ware Nature Center, you know, Chicago has some fabulous green spaces, and they have Milwaukee County Parks and Ware Nature Center is just amazing. At Ware Nature Center, we have five very distinct plant communities all within just a few minutes' walk of each other. So you can come up here, and just within a few minutes, your family can take a walk through all the different ecological areas of southeast Wisconsin.
Certainly, you're going to have maybe ways to highlight the different plants, the flora, the fauna that's indigenous to the area. Are there certain things that people would be surprised about? You think about Wisconsin, you think about it's not too much different, at least, you know, here kind of southern Wisconsin than maybe Illinois. But what are some of the things that, as far as animals that you may see, you'd be surprised by?
Well, one of the great things about Ware Nature Center, and actually all the Maukee County parks, is that there's tremendous diversity of both plants and animals. So, for instance, at Ware Nature Center, you know, we have, as I said, it's over 220 acres, and we have over 5 miles of hiking trails. And in those 5 miles of hiking trails, you can literally see, especially during spring migration and fall migration, over 100 different species of birds, 100 different species of plants. And the great thing about it is that it's a great place just to come out, take the family, and recharge. You know, we're in a metropolitan area of over 1 million people, and yet when you come out to the Maukee County Parks, especially Ware Nature Center, you would never know that you're literally in the middle of a subdivision.
So you're at one with nature, you get out there, you kind of recharge, like you said, right? You know, you're out. Are there any things, and this is, you know, for the sensationalist either in me, and certainly the listeners are wondering about it too, are there any things to watch out for? You know, I know the badger, we've all seen sort of the documentaries on it, it's the state animal here, that, you know, they're vicious, right? And they're very strong and powerful, you know, for their size. Are there any kind of poisonous snakes we should watch out for? Anything, I mean, just normal kind of cautionary tales we should share with the listeners?
Well, Maukee County Parks is very safe, and there actually are two different species of rattlesnakes in Wisconsin.
Okay, so you said it, but they're not very safe. Then there's those rattlesnakes.
Not in Maukee County Parks, though.
Okay.
You know, Maukee County, we have some amazing wildlife. I mean, you can see, and just about every other day, you know, I see fox, I see coyote, we have hawks, and all the other things that go along with that. And you really do get a sense of being out in the wild when you come out and use the green spaces of Maukee County Parks. And it's not just that. You know, green space is really important for so many different reasons. I mean,
oxygen, right?
Absolutely, one of those basic processes of life. It increases property value of surrounding communities. And also, Maukee County Parks act as a big sponge. If you take a look at a map of Maukee County Parks, and you take a look at the green spaces, they are there for...
You mean like water retention or something? Like runoff?
Well, our early forefathers, they actually planned the parks in great deliberation. And what I mean by that is when it rains and when rivers flood, not if they flood, but when they flood, right, what winds up happening is you wind up flooding green space and parkland as opposed to backing up into people's homes. So that also provides a wildlife corridor, and it just adds to so much to the quality of life to have that green space versus having soggy and damaged homes.
I'm curious. It's often really kind of interesting to give a little insight into kind of the vocational, you know, like a day in the life kind of thing. You know, we talk to, whether it's like race car drivers or celebrities, I kind of know what it is that they do on a daily basis. Let the listeners know. We're talking with Howard April. He is with the Ware Nature Center. He is a park naturalist. And so what is a day in the life for Howard? You get up, you know, are you out? You're in some kind of safari vehicle? Are you picking, like, you know, rare plants? Are you fencing off maybe some poison oak? What do you do?
Well, it's my life isn't quite like a Mutual of Omaha special, but every day is different. And basically what I do is, as a park naturalist, is I get to share the plants, the animals, the green space with people that come out every single day. And that varies from scout groups and public programs, families, special needs organizations that come out, and they sign up for a program or a public program, and we introduce them and give them a positive experience in nature, and every single day is a little bit different.
Oh, just an ambassador for general goodness. We did have a texter call in, of course, you know, we're at WGN, we're in the home of the Wildcats, right? And somebody wanted to know what is more ferocious, and I'm not sure what that scale is, you know, or how you determine ferocity, but an Evanston Wildcat or a Wisconsin Badger? I guess it would be like, who'd win in a fight? Your thoughts, Howard, as a guy who knows.
Well, I can say from a scientific perspective, a wildcat and a badger, their paths would not cross too often.
Okay.
So you wouldn't see that too often. But of course, in this hypothetical, of course the badger would come out on top.
Pound for pound.
That just goes without saying. You know, smaller than a wildcat, but sometimes tough animals come in small packages.
Sharp teeth, claws. Yeah, I get it. They'll be facing off, of course, next week in college football, the Wildcats and the Badgers. So stay tuned for that on WGN. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Sandy Fuller, Morosky is from the Mitchell Park Dome. He's going to talk about some wildlife, some nature under glass. And we'll talk about that when we come back. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hey, this is Alexander Rossi, Indy 500 champion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I just want to stay in the sun where I find. I know it's hard sometimes.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here at China Lights at the Berner Botanical Gardens in Milwaukee. And we have taken an on-the-road road trip north of the border and learning about not only the you know, stuff going on as far as in Milwaukee, but all around the state, specifically here at China Lights. I want to let people know that the China Lights is going to be here for another week. It has been extended by popular demand going all the way through next weekend. And if you come up here next weekend, not only for your admission, are you able to get in here, chinalights.org for all the tickets, but you also get a prize, a souvenir, a reward. I'm not sure exactly how to describe it, but something unexpected and probably very pleasant that you get with that. To my right, we do have Tony Lamb. He has been with us for the entire program, my right-hand guy. He is with the Organization of Chinese Americans here in Milwaukee. And to my left, and she's going to talk a little bit about some of the nature. I know what people are thinking. They're thinking, you know, once it gets to be a certain point, it's cold, and maybe Wisconsin isn't the most forgiving climate, but she is part of that team that keeps it available, and you can get in there and see so many different, I think, demographics when it comes to the flora and fauna of Milwaukee. Sandy Follerant, she is with the Mitchell Park Dome. She's a Horticultural Services Director. Sandy, welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I have been, and I know people who have driven, whether even if they're just heading up north through Milwaukee, or if they live here, for sure they've been back and forth past it so many times, is the domes, right? I mean, this is one of those things that is, it's an iconic structure to the Milwaukee area. So what is it like? First, a little bit of background on it. What's inside of it, and what's it like to work there?
Well, thanks for asking me those questions. That's great. A lot of people know the domes, as you say, just by the side of it. You can see it from airplanes, you can see it, you know, on the expressway driving by. It's a three dome scenario. Each dome is a different climate. We have a tropical rainforest, a desert dome, and a seasonal floral show dome. The domes were designed through a contest, actually, in 1959, and the reason for the contest was to replace the 1899 conservatory that stood on that very same site that had kind of fallen into disrepair, Victorian type of conservatory, and it was replaced with these very unique conoidal-shaped domes.
So what is it? So you've got the different kind of areas. You've got, like you said, the desert. You've got the tropical. What is that like? And how big are they? For those people that haven't seen them and driven by, I know you said you can see them from an airplane. I don't know that you can see them from space, but they are big, right? When you're in there, do you really feel like you're in a desert?
Well, sure you do. They're 7.5 stories high, and each one is approximately an acre.
Wow.
So that's a lot of space to meander and make you at least feel you're in a garden. And not in Wisconsin in the winter.
So you mentioned some of the floral shows that may be happening there and some of the other special events. But what are some other reasons? People just get up there, just go in there, check it out. How does it work, you know, as far as coming and experience them? Do you get to experience all three, or do you have to go and individually either get tickets and get into each one of them? How does it work?
No, one ticket is going to get you into the entire conservatory. The floral dome, the show dome, changes 5 times a year. So we have seasonal shows where we completely reinvent the site with new props, a theme, and certainly a landscape design. Tropical is also a destination if you like orchids. And the desert is really where the most valuable plants are in our collection. That's about $2.2 million in arid and succulent plants.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay, and so where is it location-wise? So if you get off of the expressway, that's when you usually see it. And then is there, you know, as far as a route for people from Chicago area, from, you know, coming from the south towards the north, is there a place to park? How does that work?
Well, parking is free, which I think you're visitors from Illinois absolutely appreciate, because that is huge.
Yeah, everyone's looking like they're Googling
it's
it right
free.
Now, wondering what free parking even
what
could
is
be.
That?
Right.
Exactly. It's $8 to get in, and kids are $6. And we're open, and you're going to love this. We're open every day of the year. We basically never close.
We'll let listeners know we're talking with Sandy Folleron from the Mitchell Park Domes. And I would be remiss, and I think we did get a text or two about it. So in there, you know you're going to have the climates of those different areas, and you're going to have the plants, right? I know with Howard, we were talking about some of the wildlife. Are there any, you know, do you have any animals in there that may, maybe birds or something, that may find their homes?
Well,
the
other
domes?
Than the staff itself, we do have a few animals, yes. We have tropical birds. We also have fish in our tropical pond.
Really? Okay.
We once in a while get animals that people seem to drop off for us, feeling that that is a good fit, a good home for the animal, maybe like, the exotic animal that they thought was going to be easy to take care of.
Someone like throws a gator
a lizard.
In there?
Let's just say a lizard, for example.
Okay. All right, so people want to get up there and see the lizard or maybe drop one off. No, that's not. We don't recommend
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking.
In anyway, what is the website where people get information on the different events that are happening on there and maybe see some of the exhibits and plan their trip to see you?
Sure. It's MitchellParkDomes.com. That's going to list all different kinds of options for you, whether it's our events, and we do at least a dozen full public events a year. We have the Day of the Dead is coming up. I know you were talking about that earlier. And we also have a traditional New Year's Eve party for families. So a lot of the things we do are celebratory for family events.
And what a great place to do it, too. Can you probably do like weddings and things like
that? Oh, just last night we had a big wedding. So when even though the conservatory is open every day of the year, we still make it open to rent after hours, too.
Wow. Okay, a cool setting. It is happening there at the Mitchell Park Dome. Sandy Folleron. We're going to have a link up at WGNradio.com for that. Thanks for sharing. And Tony Lamb, before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about, you know, you're with the Chinese American community and how people can get in touch with you and find out things that are going on with a lot of that community up here in Wisconsin.
Well, first, I'd like to remind Sandy that we also have a Chinese New Year party at the Dome every year that's open to the public, right? And
yes.
She's confirming it.
Yeah, don't forget.
No,
yeah.
We do several festivals and ethnic festivals. Yes.
Right. And I also want to reiterate what John Gerda have to say about Milwaukee, that it is very manageable. And that's why I came to Milwaukee 1974 and I never left.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful community for Asian people to live in. I mean, it's a really diversified city.
And you work specifically with the organization Chinese Americans here in Milwaukee. And so before we let you go, we're going to take a break in a second and then come back and send it to news. But go ahead and give the website out or a place where people can get in touch with you.
Sorry, we actually do not have a website, which is pretty small.
It's a secret society?
Not exactly. But you can also... We might have OCA.com. Out of my head.
I will check it out during the break, and we'll put it up there. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we will come back, and we'll send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane here at 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the road, live here at China Lights, the Berner Botanical Gardens up here in Milwaukee, wrapping it up. Want to thank everybody that listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Definitely get up here. Make your way up here. It is going now until the end of next weekend. And if you stop over next weekend, not only do you get to see all the amazing things that is Pandemonium, but you get a great gift as well. So thanks to everybody for that.